You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's 8:06 right now. You are listening to Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson on the Civic Media Network. If you're listening in Wausau on WXCO or in Richland Center on WRCE or in Wisconsin Rapids this morning on WFHR, thank you so much for joining us. I am Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. And Jamie, people may be wondering, hey, wait, that's a new name. And in a lot of places, they're thinking, why are you guys still here? Aren't you supposed to leave at 8 o'clock?
Weren't you supposed to go away by now?
Yeah, why are you bothering us? Well, it's because there's been some changes here at Civic Media, and there's been some changes on the Talk Network. And in our opinion, great changes.
They are great changes.
You decide. They are great changes. What are those changes, Jamie?
Well, Daybreak with you and I will now be from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Unless, of course, you listen on WMDX in Madison. Folks are now hearing Stephanie Miller. And then as soon as we get off the air, Stephanie Miller will be heard across the state until 11 a.m. Tom Hartman will take you through your mid-morning into your early afternoon from 11 until 2. We have a brand new show debuting today. It is called The Jeff Santo Show. That will be from 2 to 5 here on the Civic Media Network. And then from 5 to 7 p.m., more great local shows with Nightlight, with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. That is going to be a dual-hosted show now. And they're going to actually join us at the end of this hour to talk a little bit about what you can expect from 5 to 7 p.m. But a really great line up basically covering all the news of the day, little fun mixed in, little Wisconsin mixed in there as well. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a great lineup. And, you know, if you can't listen on your local radio station, you can always go get that app as well. It's free
to
download.
Where would they find an app?
Free to download in the Google Store or the Apple Store. And you can listen to some really great programming from all across the state. You know, sometimes if you need a little break from the politics of it all, we have some great music stations across the state, too, in every
format.
I'll
be honest. I waited until the show became official, and then the other day I downloaded the app. So
good.
Now I have the app. I wasn't going to waste space on the phone in case things went south.
Of course.
Thankfully they did not, and now use the app. Then you can tell your friends to stream us if you want to watch us in the morning, because God knows we look fantastic.
We do. I've got some really dark, weird light happening across the studio right now. I'm not sitting in the dark, but I look like I'm sitting in the dark.
There's a weird period between 7:30 and 8 where you get a real big shadows. Now it's just nice accenting.
Okay, it's where the sun starts to come up, and then our big windows here in the studio are facing other people's big windows where the sun reflects off of them right into the studio. So I get this weird period when the sun is actually coming up. But it's good, and I'd rather see the sunshine than not, so the blinds will always stay up.
It's very blinding, though.
It is.
Enjoy the new lineup. We hope you enjoy our extended show. Tell people about us. Tell people about everything that's happening here on Civic Media, where we're trying to lead with the facts. And yes, you'll get our opinions, but they will all be based in the facts. And we try to tell you the truth so that then it's up to you, whatever you want to do with it. But at least we know we're not spreading disinformation.
That's right.
And trying to give you the facts, Jack.
Here's the beautiful part about it. If we don't get something right and you catch us, we will be happy to tell you that we made a mistake, look into it, and then give the right information, because we are not above doing that either, because we want everybody to be well-informed. Voters
But we're
and
also not
citizens.
Above calling you out if you That's try right. to correct us and you're wrong.
That's right.
So
we'll tell you that,
correct
too.
Correct us at your... correct.
At peril.
Come loaded. That's all I'm saying.
That's right.
Come correct
That's right.
with your corrections, and we will do it.
I've done some research usually, so
yeah, it's gonna me, you could fool all day, because really at the end of the day I'm skimming, but Jamie goes deep. She knows what's happening. And if you ever want to get involved in the program, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, which is what Dave did in New Berlin. He said the weather on the East Coast is likely to delay air travel coast to coast. And let's talk a little bit about this bomb cyclone that is hitting the Northeast right now. And
this is a scary term, right? Like bomb cyclone.
Over 2 feet has fallen.
Yeah.
In at least five states already.
With hurricane force wind gusts as well. Over 40 million people now under blizzard warnings in the Northeast. Snow piling up, as you mentioned, to over 2 feet, with a foot reported in at least five different states. The biggest snowstorm in years for New York City and Philadelphia. Some of that heavy snow started pushing deeper into New England earlier this morning. There's treacherous conditions which have paused public transit. It's forced travel bans and propped up warnings to stay off roads. More than 10,000 flights have already been canceled as of today. Now, there is a state of emergency in New York City, which is actually pretty rare. A citywide travel ban is in effect until noon today, and the city canceled school today, its first proper snow day since 2019.
Wow.
Which is insane, right? So you know that they don't have to do this very often. So obviously keeping an eye on what's happening on the East Coast. You can imagine that with those type of flight delays, if you are traveling anywhere, you might want to check your own travel plans just because of what that... If LaGuardia and JFK are down, that pretty much means that travel across the country could have some issues today.
And obviously Logan Airport is down.
Yeah.
About 1,600 flights canceled out of there. And between those airports, they account for about 87% of all the cancellations.
Yeah.
So it is going to affect everything. And even if you don't, well, you're like, well, I'm just flying from Milwaukee to Kansas City. That shouldn't be. No, it's probably, there's a good chance your plane was probably supposed to come from somewhere else. So just check. And if you see any of the video, you know, I was moaning Saturday night into yesterday, we got a little dusting, and I was like, oh, it's snowing again. Now I look at those videos. Two feet of snow is... How do you even get... Where do you put it?
That's
insane. I wouldn't know where to put 2 feet of
snow.
Especially
in cities like New York, right? If you've ever traveled, you know there's not a lot of square footage to be had and open space to be had, and now you're dealing with piles and piles of snow. So
you know what I like to see there that I don't see here? They have... As they're trying to clear the snow, they have giant heated trucks, and they just, it's like dumping the snow into a hot tub.
It's crazy.
And then the water just goes right down the drain. They're just dumping it, melting it, because there's nowhere to pile it.
No.
Like you said, they put their garbage out in the front. There's
right?
no alleys in New York, in Manhattan. You have nowhere to put anything.
No.
So they're melting it as they go, which in the Northeast is very common. Here it's not.
No. I kind of wish it was. That would eliminate, I think, a lot of travel issues even around our Wisconsin. We're hardier, though, right? Like, we're used to this stuff. That's what people tell me anyway.
I think they like to say that, but if you look at Buffalo, Boston, that area, they get snow that we're... Yeah. Nah,
no,
they win that.
Yeah.
If win is the word, but it would, those melting trucks would get rid of all the, you know, when you
they're
go to the grocery
cool.
store and the piles
yes.
are, and you can't see around and people are whipping around it like they're on some alpine luge track, tying back into the Olympics. So it's, I want to see some of those, but man, we'll keep an eye on that, but it is thankfully, and we're getting a lot of, up in the UP, they're getting a lot of snow, too, up on the northern
shores. They are. There's several inches falling in that vicinity as well. Nothing like what they're going to see on the East Coast. But all part of that system as it trails across the upper part of the country down from Canada. So, obviously, they're on the tail end of it compared to what the Northeast is getting. In some other big news that's happening across, I would say, not across the United States, but affecting U.S. tourists especially.
Yes.
This broke yesterday afternoon. Mexico's most wanted cartel boss was actually killed in a Mexican military operation. The U.S. provided intelligence report for that operation, according to the White House. Now, this killing has sparked some widespread unrest throughout much of Mexico. Suspected gang members torched buses and businesses. They clashed with security forces. More than 250 blockades were reported across 20 Mexican states, according to Mexican security cabinets. Most of those roadblocks as of this morning have been cleared. Now, the U.S. State Department urged American nationals in parts of Mexico to seek shelter and remain in residences or hotels. Other tourists just there for, you know, their midwinter vacation have been stranded after several U.S. carriers suspended flights to Puerto Vallarta. So obviously something that we're keeping an eye on as well. Yes. Mexico's President Sheinbaum actually spoke this morning at a daily press conference with the unrest happening throughout her country. So,
well, and this was the Jalisco New Generation Cartel, the most powerful, and it was El Mencho, not to be confused with the El Chapo. They have some sort of nickname, and it's the footage coming out of Mexico with not only the cars and buses being burned to create roadblocks, but burnings of retail establishments and all different kinds of things. It's just, it's tough. I can't imagine, and there's always coverage of when there's a big storm of tourists being stranded there. That would be scary enough, but this kind of thing is even scarier because the cartels will do whatever they want.
Right.
And there have been stories in the past about cartels going into resorts and causing all kinds of havoc and killing people. Mm-hmm. And they don't take kindly to this, and they're definitely not going to take kindly now that the news is out that the U.S. helped with the intelligence to get this done. So another place to keep an eye, because we don't have enough problems right here. Now we got problems. We got to keep an eye on Iran and Mexico and the Nor'easter. And it's never ending.
And Sheinbaum, in her comments this morning, within just the last couple of minutes as we've been talking, some of those comments have been made public. It was her first press conference. And she said, quote, "Today there is already more calm and there is government. There are armed forces. There is a security cabinet and there is a lot of coordination." She went on in that speech this morning to reassure citizens that peace, security and normalcy are being maintained throughout the country of Mexico. So
really,
the photos don't really indicate that, but I guess she'd know more than I would at this stage of the game.
Would this be El gaslighted? Is that what's happening now?
She might just be hoping. Spanish. You know, here's the thing that I'll say about this: is she just hoping that the Trump administration doesn't use this as a way to bring people and U.S. It's been threatened by this cabinet.
No, it's listen. We saw it in Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
This is there's and the not funny thing, but the thing
ironic
that would be unusual, ironic. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Is that we helped create this?
Yes.
You know, by help and listen. I think it's right that we would, if we have intelligence that would help Mexico get rid of this cartel boss, we should share it. But then we can't use that, or we shouldn't be able to use that as an excuse to say, "Well, look, they can't control their own country. Maybe we go in."
Right.
I don't think that's the way to go.
It's not the way to go, but I think at the same time, if you are Claudia Sheinbaum, you are choosing your words carefully, especially with this administration and the threats that they've made against your government and the people in the past. I don't think you take any of this lightly. I think you try to assure that there is a calmness. I mean, I'm watching TV right now, seeing things in flames. I'm not sure that my take of what's happening is the same take that the government of Mexico is giving me right now. But
once I'm told to not leave my home,
I kind of think there's an issue.
Safety is not being preserved.
I see that as a bit of an issue. Yeah.
I could be in Puerto Vallarta going to the beach.
Right.
That's safe.
Right.
Hunker down in your hotel and don't leave. That doesn't sound safe.
That doesn't seem safe to me. But I'm going to assume that words like most of our allies, I'll put that in air quotes, with this particular administration, have to choose carefully as to how they show situations to being handled in their respective countries. Because, well, why not? Let's just send our troops everywhere. 8:19 right now. You are listening to Daybreak with Jamie Martinson and Brian Noonan on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It's 8:22 right now. You are listening to Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson on the Civic Media Network. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We always appreciate it. For anybody who's sticking with us during this third hour today.
Yes, it's the first day of the extended show. We said goodbye to the folks in Madison on WMDX. But everybody else on the network, we're glad you're still here. And once we're done at 9 o'clock, Stephanie Miller will pick up where you are. So if you're like, where's Stephanie? She's coming. Hang on. Hold your water. We're gonna send it to you. And then check out all the other Tom Hartman. And what's the new show? Jeff Santos is our new show.
The Jeff Santos show. Yeah, Jeff Santos show should be interesting because in the middle of this bomb cyclone, yeah. Jeff Santos actually brings his show to you from the Boston area. So yes. Hopefully so we'll all see. The best to them. All the best to yes. them as they navigate this winter weather in on the north or on the East Coast, I should say.
All right, and then Pete Schwab and Greg mm-hmm. Bach. We'll host Nightlight from 5 to 7. We'll talk to those guys later on in the hour. And if flights and air travel were not going to be affected enough by the storm today and for the next few days, I would imagine, TSA is also going to cause a little trouble because, you know, we're still in a partial government shutdown mm-hmm. because we could not agree, and by we, I mean our fine, illustrious Congress, could not agree on how or if or maybe not to fund DHS. So TSA is affected. And if you were listening, Jamie, over the weekend, first it was going to be, everything's closing down. Global Entry is going to mm-hmm. shut down. We might have pre-check. That's going to shut down. Then they came back and said, all right, no, everything's going to be fine. Then they came back and said, I know, that's not true. We'll keep pre-check going, but Global Entry, not going to happen. So once again, hand it to Kristi Noem. She runs yeah. a tight ship over there.
She really does. She's got it all buttoned up. We know exactly what's happening all the time. So when it comes to the pre-check, yes, if you have the pre-check at TSA, that is still, you can still use your clearance that you've already Good. Gotten. You can still get through line quickly. However, Global Entry is now officially shut down for the duration of this funding lapse, which means, and don't hold your breath on this because I think they're out the remainder of this week. Mike Johnson has still not gaveled them back in. They'll be in Washington tomorrow night for the State of the Union, where the president will take the podium right. at 8 p.m. our time. But I don't believe any work is happening in Washington this week.
Did now, Robin Voss get a hold of
yes,
Mike McCray and
they
go,
had
hey,
coffee.
Man, you know, we're doing 9 months.
They're having coffee right now because neither of them are working.
Nobody's working.
So what that means with Global Entry is that international travelers returning to the U.S. should expect longer lines at customs and passport control, which is going to be great for those tourists finally able to get out of Mexico, too.
Yes, the people coming back from the Olympics.
Right. Yep. That'll be easy peasy. So the shutdown, of course, stems from that standoff in Congress over the immigration enforcement policy. TSA officers deemed essential are still working. They are working, though, without pay. So take it easy on your TSA officers because their job is hard enough as it is. TSA PreCheck serves more than 20 million members and allows expedited security screening for a fee of roughly $77 to $85 for 5 years. Global Entry costs about $120 for 5 years. It has more than 12 million members and speeds up customs processing. Altogether, more than 40 million travelers use DHS Trusted Traveler programs. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we mentioned the timing because between the bomb cyclone that is closing flights out of LaGuardia, JFK, Boston Logan, well, this is just adding to the stress of flying over the next few days. And I'm fine once I get in an airplane. It's the whole act of going through line, security. I hate it. It is not fun. I don't enjoy my time.
No, you have to be a psycho
yeah.
if you enjoy that part of it. I love to travel once I get off the
yes.
plane.
Yes, yes.
That's what I love to try. And when I get off the plane at home, I'm like, oh, I'm home. The rest of it is a constant nightmare. We did get pre-check, and it does make things a lot easier.
Yeah.
Just for fun. But this seems, the timing also seems odd because remember 2 weeks ago, which is now more than 2 weeks, when they didn't fund DHS because of ICE, they said this will not impact air travel at all.
Right.
Well, now that nobody has given in on their funding fight, suddenly we're going to impact travelers
mm-hmm.
and we're going to impact travelers who travel internationally. So probably a little more money, a little more experience, maybe a few more connections. And suddenly those people are going to be very, very angry. And then we can default to our old, it's the Democratic shutdown and let's blame the Democrats. And it's just one more thing before the midterms that is going to be hung on the Democrats' neck, even though it's not a Democrat issue.
No, and let's be clear. DHS funding is stalled because Congress can't agree, and then Mike Johnson recessed for 2 weeks, and so no negotiations have been happening.
Right.
I mean, get them back to D.C., and if you actually want this to end and you want life to be easier for travelers, then you would actually be in D.C. and you would do a damn job. I mean, that's what it comes down to, right?
That is true. But, Jamie, based on track records, how much does making Americans' lives easier or better come into play?
It does not for this administration,
okay,
but it's easier for them to sit at home, go on their cable news, and then point fingers at Democrats. It's really hard, though, as it turns out, to sit in a room and hammer out a deal because that's what you're supposed to do as a leader of the country. But I get it. Those things are hard, so it's easier to, you know, just go blame the Democrats on whatever show will basically put you on that given Sunday.
It's infuriating, though completely expected. There is no responsibility ever taken by this administration. It doesn't matter what the issue. You blame somebody else.
Yeah.
Blame somebody. It's their fault. It's their fault. I inherited horrible this. I inherited horrible that. Why should I ever have to be responsible? I'm not to blame. Everybody else hurts me. They're all after me.
It's all everybody else's fault.
Let's do a little. Let's look at the Constitution, Jamie, shall we? Let's do that, especially the Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
So we're going to focus on the Bill of Rights after this break. I'm going to say it this time, Jamie.
Okay.
This is Daybreak. Yeah, on the Civic Media Network. I was just letting the new name sink in.
We hope your Monday is off to a great start. It is 8:35 right now. You are listening to Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson on the Civic Media Network.
Good morning. If you want to get involved, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Tell people we're also streaming. You listen on the app, the Civic Media app. Play some more music. That's you can listen to music stations on the app. Thank you for that reminder, Parker. That was great.
Of course. Anytime.
Seamless.
Just want to go
seamless. Seamless. So we're on the app. Music's on the app. The app is on the app. You know how to work the apps. We're on YouTube streaming. So if you ever want to, if you're like, huh, these two sound interesting. I wonder what they look like. Go to YouTube. Go
you
to
can
Facebook.
Watch.
Check it
you
out.
Can watch.
That's fantastic.
And we apparently don't know how to run the app based on what's happening. Just watching Parker's face, I'm not sure if we know how to run the app.
I was going to say, don't. Let's not say
oh, no.
We, Jamie.
No, 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 no.
Let's put a laser
That's
point
right.
on this.
That's right.
We
it's
got
an easy
one
news
guy.
App, guys. Come on. It's easy news. It's free. Why wouldn't you want it? Get it.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, look at you. Put it up there, too, on the stream. Yeah. Oh, boy. This is going to be fun.
Okay.
Because
I love having
be a
good constitutional
little schoolhouse
conversation.
Rock. Yes. And, Jamie, you will get to inform people on a couple of amendments. Because, remember, it seems like years ago, there was a horrible military occupation in Minneapolis. It's probably still going on. But now that things have settled down a little, the news cycle moves on. We don't forget you, Minneapolis. We still applaud the people with their peaceful protests
right.
and all that. But the problem now, the thing now is Operation Metro has sparked legal fights. Good. Invoking at least 6 of the first 10 amendments to the Bill of Rights. Now, I'm not a math major, but that would seem to be the majority of the amendments in the Bill of Rights. 4,000 arrests in November. That has become really the sticking point. And the first one is, let's start at number 4. The Fourth Amendment is the one that seems to be getting the most traction, Jamie.
Yeah, and the Fourth Amendment essentially protects against unreasonable searches and seizures, which is the major focus. ICE agents have been using administrative warrants issued by the executive branch to enter homes rather than warrants signed by a judge. Mm-hmm. So some federal judges have ruled that those do not meet constitutional standards. And right. I mean, that is the Fourth Amendment. There really is nothing else you can say about that. That is the Fourth Amendment. So,
right.
Yeah. And obviously, there will be legal ramifications for everything we're talking about going forward over the next few weeks, months. And, with this administration,
probably
who
years.
Knows years? Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So the second one that's getting a little attention right now is the Fifth Amendment, which guarantees due process. This is also an issue. Judges in Minnesota and even Texas have accused the administration of stretching or ignoring due process protections for immigrants. Minnesota officials tried to use the 10th Amendment as well, which protects states' rights to block parts of this federal crackdown. A federal judge did reject that particular request. So, I mean, we're just hitting all the high notes with the Bill of Rights in all of these over the next.
Even the third, which was most people, you don't really know the Third Amendment. It deals with the government taking over private property. And so they've tried to, they're including that in some cases where it's like, well, listen,
And this goes back to the fact that Minneapolis hotels canceled room reservations for ICE agents once they figured out why they were there, what their actual duties were, and what they were doing within the city. So even the Third Amendment, which is usually used during wartime, that's usually what the Third Amendment is reserved for.
You can't just take over somebody's house to put soldiers in it. But this is going to be an interesting argument. Is a hotel, it is a privately owned business.
Right.
Is it a private residence or is it a public residence run by a private company? That's going to be that part will be interesting to watch. The other's all interesting too, but that's going to be an interesting.
That's going to be the one that's going to be a big question in the courts about the hotels and the use and what they actually are. So I think that one will be fascinating. I mean, Minneapolis even comes down to the First and Second Amendments, right? You had the First Amendment after journalist Don Lemon was arrested while live streaming a protest inside that church. Now, Lemon says he was exercising freedom of the press. Prosecutors argue the protest interfered with religious freedom. I think this is also going to come down to the argument, is Don Lemon a journalist or is he a private blogger? Because there are also groups making that because he doesn't work for an entity now.
Right,
he's his own person.
In this day and age, the old paradigm is gone. A lot of journalists are their own news organization disseminating information. You can argue the credibility of that. You can argue if they're true journalists. Don Lemon comes from a journalism background. Lemon is an independent journalist.
Yes.
So we can't. This is one of those issues that you can't judge by old standards. You have to look at the current climate and the current broadcast model that we have, and you'll make a different thing. Now, let us not forget the always invoked Second Amendment.
Right.
That is on the table, too. And that is where, if you recall, again, it seems like forever ago, the gun lobbies, the NRA, gun owners were really a little bit upset about how the administration is suddenly, after being so pro-Second Amendment, is pulling back once, you know, somebody actually legally carried a firearm and then was murdered by ICE.
Right, because some
after not drawing his firearm.
Right, because some administration officials are suggesting that gun rights don't apply during confrontations with law enforcement, even though Alex Preddy, at the time he was murdered by the ICE agents on the streets of Minneapolis, just in case you forget, because this news cycle is insane.
Right.
He had a legal conceal and carry. I mean, he could legally
carry. That was holstered.
Yes, that was holstered that he never drew. So there's going to be several arguments in court about this and how this is going to play out. Now, supporters of the administration say that it is lawfully enforcing immigration policy and that lower courts are just overreaching right now. Critics argue the crackdown represents a broad test and a possible violation of constitutional protections. Then you get the legal scholars involved, and they say it's highly unusual for one set of government actions to trigger challenges involving so many core constitutional rights at the same time. Then that should tell you that this administration does not care about our constitutional rights and that it is simply optional to them they're only interested in talking about when it's convenient for them. That's when they're interested. We've seen how journalists have been treated, not just in Minneapolis, Don Lemon, but in other places too, where press coverage is met with not with protection, but with pushback. It raises serious First Amendment concerns. We talked about Alex Preddy and the Second Amendment. But here's what I think gets interesting in this argument is we keep hearing that undocumented immigrants don't have rights, Brian, right? This administration likes to talk about the lack of rights that undocumented immigrants have.
Yes. And again, it's not hard to, just Google that.
Right.
See if that's true.
Right.
Just,
well, I did. So this is...
I figured you did.
So
why did I know? Listen, we all should know this. But if you don't know it, Jamie will explain.
We're going to talk about this because this administration likes to tell us that constitutional protections don't apply to immigrants. And that's just simply not true. It's not true. The Constitution doesn't protect only citizens in many places. It protects all persons, which means even people without legal status in this country are entitled to due process, the rights under the 5th and 14th Amendments. I know we're getting a little outside the Bill of Rights, but it's important.
We cracked the top, went past the top 10 on that.
That's right. But rights under the 5th and 14th Amendments to a fair hearing rather than summary actions. 4th Amendment protections against unreasonable searches and seizures, the right to remain silent, the right to legal counsel in criminal proceedings, protection from discrimination, and access to the courts. I mean, these aren't political talking points. Those are constitutional laws that we have to protect all persons, not just citizens in this country.
I think what the administration and a lot of people count on is the fact that a lot of us don't pay attention to that kind of thing. We took the Constitution test in seventh grade. We know basically, okay, we know the Second Amendment, and everybody misquotes the First Amendment anyway. The Fifth, we know from courtroom dramas where I don't have to incriminate myself, but there's more to the Fifth. So we don't know.
Right.
And they figure if you bang on something enough, even if it's a lie, and you keep hammering it, soon it becomes the truth, and I put that in quotes, it becomes the truth that somebody wants you to believe, and enough people will not do the research and do not listen to us that they are missing out. And it's not willful ignorance. It's just you forget. Not everybody carries a copy of the Constitution in their pocket.
Right.
Not everybody is a constitutional scholar. But at times like this, when you hear so many different messages coming at you, and one is so diametrically opposed to all the others, when one piece of information is telling you, no, these rights don't apply, but other sources that you used to trust are all saying, yes, these rights do apply to everybody who's on our soil.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
Take a look yourself.
And here's the thing. This doesn't mean that immigration laws shouldn't be enforced. I mean, that's not what we're saying at all. But enforcement still has to follow the Constitution. That's the point, right? I mean,
and it goes to anybody. It goes even if you're visiting. If you're from a country that, you know, the administration thinks their citizens don't belong here, or we have a lot of undocumented immigrants from that country. You could be visiting. It doesn't matter. It's the same thing. A right is a right. A right isn't something that you can just enforce or be granted day to day. The rights are there. We've got it written down. We've been following it for 249 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody's got to stand up and go, no, that's wrong.
Here's the thing that I think concerns me the most. If constitutional protections can be brushed aside as easily as they have been by this administration for certain groups of people, history has shown us that it never stops there. Now, the courts are pushing back in some cases, but if the only check on executive power is the judiciary, and even court orders are being slow-walked or completely ignored by this administration, then we really have a separation of powers problem. And if you are an observer of what's happening in this country, you know that that is true. Yeah. Congress exists for a reason. Oversight also exists for a reason, and the Constitution is there for a reason. It shouldn't take some constitutional law scholar in Minneapolis to remind the federal government that this is the constitutional law of the land. And it should also not take all of us begging for this, our Congress to reconvene in Washington, D.C. to do their jobs and hold this particular administration accountable. We should not have to beg for that to happen.
Yes, we shouldn't, but we do. Thankfully, the Supreme Court, and we go back to the tariff thing, they showed a little glimmer of backbone this weekend by saying this is not constitutionally allowed. There are processes. Those processes include congressional approval. So now we just need the Congress to man up, quit just man and woman up. I don't know a better term,
but
a more politically correct term than man up. I know, but we have less thans running the thing, and we've got people who are afraid. They're afraid of a man who doesn't know what he's doing, surrounded by a cabinet that, for the most part, does not know what they're doing.
Right.
And we're allowing that man to make unilateral decisions about this country without... We have the system in place. Use it. Stop being so afraid. The Republicans in Congress need to stop being afraid, because someday he will be gone.
Right.
But the government and the country should not be gone.
Fingers crossed, anyway. It's 8:48 right now. You are listening to Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson on the Civic Media Network. We have Pete Schwab and Greg Bach coming up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, new show. It's 5 o'clock, but we'll talk to them next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's 8:52 right now. You are listening to Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson on the Civic Media Network. Thank you so much for joining us today.
And if you ever want to get involved in the program, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. The texts are up. The phone is up. The new lineup is up. Today is a big day at Civic Media as we unveil the new and improved Civic Media Network lineup. We're in the mornings. That's right there. Some people very happy about it. Some questioning the decisions. But then it goes in. Stephanie Miller is on. And then it's Tom Wopat. No, he was on the Dukes of Hazzard.
Tom Hartman.
Then we've got a new show, Jamie. Maybe or maybe not. They're snowed in Boston. Who is
Jeff
our new show?
Santo show will
Jeff
be on
Santo
the network from
show.
2 to 5. And then that brings us to our 5 to 7 p.m.
5
slot.
5 o'clock.
That's right. Drive time.
Two familiar voices taking over a familiar show title. Greg Bach, you heard him as the co-host of Matt and Air on the Air. Then he's been co-hosting Civic Media Mid-Mornings. Greg is going to be joining Pete Schwabe on Nightlight from 5 to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, and Greg joins us now. Greg, welcome. Congratulations. Very exciting. Tell your co-host he's in deep doo-doo because he was supposed to be here with us too, but we are happy you are here. How is your schedule going to change now that you get to relax a little more during the day?
Well, I don't have to set an alarm, which is weird anymore.
That's nice.
Right. That's nice.
I can just sleep in, but also getting up early for so many years now, sleeping in is like 7:15. So yeah. I've been up for a few hours. I'm like, what do I do now? So it's play with the dog, walk the dog, take care of the dog. But yeah, it'll be some getting used to for me, but I'm very, very excited to do this. I love Pete. I love Nightlight. I'm really looking forward to creating something really fun and exciting for the folks who listen to Civic Media from 5 to 7, Monday through Friday.
And what's awesome is, like Brian alluded to, you guys are familiar voices, and I know Nightlight has always been a little bit more in the entertainment vein. You've always done a little bit more politics during the mid-morning. So how are you guys planning on combining all of that for the listeners from 5 to 7?
Well, we're gonna take the points of both shows and really make something special. And we're gonna talk about the news. We'll talk about politics. We'll talk about things that are going on around the community, Wisconsin, around the country, and how it pertains to the listeners here on the network. But then we're gonna have fun too. And that's something that we always had on Matt and Air on Air, as well as Civic Media Mid Mornings. Anyone who listened to that show knew that it wasn't 2 hours of like hard driving politics into the blue denim truth of life. It was talking about the news, and then in the second hour we'd pull back a little bit, lighten things up, and by the last half hour we're having fun talking to people about what their favorite desserts are and why carrot cake is a ruse. But the point is we're gonna have a good time.
I just made a carrot cake this weekend, by the way, for my kid's birthday. It's his favorite. So we'll have to have that discussion off
real?
Air. What was that?
Was it real?
Is it a real cake?
It was a real cake. I made it. I made it from scratch.
No, I know you did, but if Greg is saying a carrot cake might be a ruse, maybe you actually made a chocolate cake and
was
gaslighting your son into thinking that it was a carrot cake.
I believe that nobody likes carrot cake. Everybody likes the frosting. That's it.
That's true. Who doesn't like cream cheese?
I like the frosting and the walnuts.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm on board.
We digress.
Carrots are a vegetable, but we digress. But that that leads into what I wanted to ask you, because both you and Pete and also myself have a comedy background, and you know comics always want to get the last word. So, like, with Jamie and I, it's easier because Jamie has a rational, focused mind to offset my lunacy. You now have two really established, funny people who also have very deep thoughts. Is there how is it going to meld? How do you think that's going to – and it'll be a fun evolution to listen to.
Well, I think for when it comes to things as far as the politics or the news, we're going to be looking at it from a comedian standpoint where we will talk about the stories themselves, but try to find where the humor may be, finding where the hypocrisy, whether it's finding stupidity, never diluting the message of what we're talking about, but also providing some humor. And I think we've seen for many years now how taking a sour pill of politics or news or whatever and wrapping that around funny can be a really helpful thing, help people get informed, but also have fun. I mean, there's no reason why you shouldn't have fun while you're learning. So I think that's something we're definitely going to do. While our wonderful producer, Dom, will be sitting here going, please wrap it up. Please, please.
Dom.
Not everything is as funny as you think it is. Just please shut up. We have to go to break.
Oh, no, we get that from Parker. Parker's giving us, like, this rap thing all the time. He's like, come on, just get to it.
But, Greg, as you know, they don't know funny. They don't get
They don't understand jokes. They don't understand it.
It's all about time. No. Time. We got time.
We blame that
comedy,
on the age.
Comedy. Yeah, exactly.
What is comedy? I don't understand.
One, it doesn't know time.
What is a laugh? No. I don't know laughing. I have no concept of this.
So I know that you and Pete have had a couple of these impromptu sessions, just getting comfortable with each other. But tonight is the inaugural Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. What can people expect on this first episode when they tune in tonight at 5 o'clock, Greg?
Well, we're gonna be breaking down the news and presenting something. Like we're gonna be trying things out. Honestly, it's gonna be very, very fun, and I'm actually trying to pull up my little file here really quick. I'm very, very prepared, as you can see. You know, very.
Us too. We're almost done.
You got
still
a long time before the show. You got 8 hours. I'd be like, I have a show today.
We're going to be speaking to Noah Lieberman, who's running for District 14 City Council in Madison, in the first hour at 5:30, and then in the first part of the show, we're going to be introducing ourselves, the new show, talking about the news, and then just kind of having some fun. Yeah. And in the second hour, like I said, we'll bring it back and to talk more about entertainment. We'll be talking about, we're going to be sitting down today and deciding the structure of this first show, but we have an idea of where we want to go as far as the presentation. But we're looking forward to having Noah on because we are in an election year and we need people to be informed on who's running for what, especially in those seats that really affect them.
Absolutely.
Well, that's Greg Bach. He and Pete Schwabe are hosting the all-new Nightlight tonight and every night, Monday through Friday, from 5 to 7 here on the Civic Media Network. Greg, it was great meeting you even this way. Good luck with the new show.
Thank you very
Tell
much.
Your co-host,
he's
out.
Never
he's
welcome again.
Out.
Never
the
welcome back.
Is changing. Now it's
Nightlight with Greg Bach. Yes!
That's it. Schwabe can't get up. He's out.
You're listening to Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Mark.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.